I do wish it was different. I'd love for someone to make it all better. I'd love for a miracle, but I cry all the time. There's a lot of happiness in a lot of like things. I have a lot of beautiful people in my life, and I sometimes wonder why God has taken my husband away in the capacity that he was, like my best friend, and then filled my life with a lot of other wonderful people. Like, I don't understand life, but I've just sort of reached a point where I have to accept that this is where it is, and that there's a bigger plan, and maybe one day I'll understand it.
In 2007, Mario entered hospital for a routine operation. He was used to going to hospital, having had many health complications since an industrial accident 15 years earlier. This particular time, he was receiving treatment for a chest infection, which had started to spread to a shunt in his brain.
And the shunt needed revision, but by the time they got to it, 2 weeks had passed? So our regular neurosurgeon wasn't there to make the decisions that he would have normally. A different neurosurgeon treated him. They did do things a little bit differently. Took the shunt out, had it draining externally. We're going to treat the chest infection and then put the shunt back in. But Mario became increasingly more sick, so there was infection. He ended up going to radiology to have a central line put in because they thought that... Well, he needed the central line because his veins were so poor. Having been in hospital, you know, in 1992 for like 8 months and having taken blood taken from you all the time, your veins collapse. So they had to take him to have a central line put in. I was told that it was all going to be okay and it's guided. And he then would be helped so that with a central line he could have his antibiotics, he could have blood taken, and there wouldn't be as much trauma in finding a vein. It's that one line. But then somewhere in that time where it should have been uncomplicated, Mario lost oxygen. They say that he arrested and he, he was resuscitated and he was taken to intensive care, and he spent 6 weeks in intensive care. They weren't even sure if he'd survive the next 24 hours. They knew that he had the hospital bug, and they just couldn't tell me. They said that, you know, he had a third of a chance of being incapacitated through brain injury. And I think it just became apparent within the first week where he wasn't responding, and then 6 weeks on, there wasn't response to, like, what... They say that if a person's going to make good recovery, they should show the signs in the first few weeks, and Mario didn't show that. And then also the progress made in the first year is very important, and that's also been minimal. So basically he had a lack of oxygen to the brain that caused all of this. There is some response, so he can still hear, but it's cognitively what he's processing. That's minimal. He is minimally aware. So he coughs, he moans, he responds to pain. He responds to pain, so I'd like to believe that he responds to good stimulation, but we don't get the same response. So, there you go. So he's agreeing with me.
Mario remained in hospital for 10 months, where he battled with infections and doctors did everything medically possible to improve his condition. Sister Judith Clark is a family friend who spent many hours sitting by Mario's bed, singing hymns and Mario's favourite songs. But she also admired Laura Dana's courage and tenacity.
I don't know what the conversation of the doctor was, but because Mario is not really on life support, he's on artificial feeding, he's on life support, but there was some talk about termination, I suppose, in that sense. And she was, rightly so, very angry and responded, and she said, while Mario is alive, my children have a father. And I thought, and if you saw the quality of fatherhood that they have, you couldn't understand that unless you were in this house, but they have that quality of fatherhood that nobody could really know unless they were in this house.
When it was time for Mario to leave hospital, the doctors recommended Laura Dana put him in a nursing home. She remembers one particular conversation with a neurologist.
And he said, well, you're young, the kids are young, pretty much put him in a nursing home and move on with your life. And I just had, you know, tears streaming down my face, and of course handed me a box of tissues. And you're sitting there feeling really helpless. And on one hand, you're saying, well, this guy, the specialist, is telling me that this is going to be too hard. There's a part of you that believes that. But then there's this other part of me that went, but he left home and went to hospital. He should be coming back home, like to his children, to me. And I needed him home because for 10 months while he was in hospital, life wasn't normal.
I remember one of the last times he was in hospital, and I got a text to say he was home, and it was Friday night. No, I was very tired. I looked at the text and I thought, I must go down and see him. And I came down to the house, and when I walked in, the two children were either side of me on that bed. They were watching television from his bed. And Loredana told me that when he came home that time, Emmalinda said, oh, Daddy, I'm glad. Papa, I'm glad you're home. I missed you so much. And I thought, there were those who said it was unwise of her to bring him home with children that age. It was never unwise, but she's a valiant woman. I think of her in the words of the scripture. She's a valiant woman.
Okay, they don't talk to him the same way that they might, but they get into bed with him every night. And they say, I love you, and they touch him and they feel him, and my daughter's analysing her ears and his ears, and why is Dad's ears so big, or how come his eyebrows are like this? So she's still learning, and, you know, she has him, and they get to kiss him every night, you know, and we pray, and that's how our family is right now.
It's with these experiences behind her that euthanasia remains incomprehensible to Loredana.
Even though Murray and I gave each other the right of power of attorney, and I guess I could make that choice. I mean, given the laws and whatever, I mean, you know, every time he had to go for another procedure, as long as it was better for him, I signed consent. I would never sign to something that, you know, would cause him more pain or allow. I didn't want him to be in pain. I always chose life, and I always chose hope, and the fact that where there is life, there is hope, and there is always a possibility of a miracle. And I just don't feel that I don't have that power in me to take that. I don't have the right to take life away. And I do see life as a gift, and it's sacred, and it's not for me to make that choice.
And somehow, lying silently in a hospital bed in his family's lounge room, Mario's outspokenness against euthanasia is stronger and bolder than ever.
But it breathes faith. The house breathes faith. The conversations breathe faith. There's everything about it. It's a special family. I'd say they're special people. They've been given a special cross to carry. And they're carrying it, as I say, valiantly.